This is the Disaster Recovery Hour. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
You listen to AM 970 The Apple. I'm your host of the show, Chris Plunkett. The show is called Disaster Recovery Hour. If you haven't been following us, what we do on the show is we report about disasters and emergencies and try to give you the tools and the tips to limit further damage in your life, whether what kind of tragedies or disasters you've experienced. So regarding the tools, I mean, we talk about supplies. We talk about, you know, the family plan or a business plan when a fire or a flood or power outages occur in your neighborhood or entire regions. We like to give out the plan and assist you in the future anxieties that you might have due to these disasters or emergencies. And we've had tons of guests with different disciplines in certain areas of disasters, with power and industrial hygienists, even specialists like piano guys who handle smoke damage contents like that and clothing. And you also have different types of emergency service guys. You know, in this time of in the last couple of years, I think it's about documented now, 5 years, the storms have been more severe, whether they're natural or they're man-made or rolling blackouts, power outages, or terrorist types, for example. You know, everyone really needs to have a plan. You can go to any of your state with your initials of your state, and then it's whatever, say New Jersey or New York, NY or ready.org. You can go onto those websites, and they give you an outline of some of the things you should be prepared for. I'm a big fan of it. I make a living that way. After these situations occur, I come in and I try to steer the people and put their lives back together. It's very gratifying. I enjoy my job. I'm lucky. I found an industry that lends to, I guess, my personality. We also talk about being prepared as in getting a kit. We're going to be rolling out our version of a kit. Some of the things inside that kit that we think are applicable to residentials and businesses. These are all advocated by the states and the federal government. FEMA is all about make a plan. You see it on the buses or the subways. You make a plan, get a kit, you know. So we're, you know, here at the Disaster Recovery Hour, we're going to try to steer you in the right direction regarding the kits. We've now gone on the twitter.com DRH Radio, and now since we've got this, the Facebook and the Twitter and things like that, we've had some great conversations with other people in the disaster field in Canada and south of the border. And what's happened in the last couple of weeks, it started with the Haiti earthquake. Well, obviously it happened in January, but this one of my guests about 2-3 months ago, we had Daniel Andre from the Haitian Civic Organization of Patterson, and we talked about what's happening down in Haiti. So I was familiar with that, but I didn't realize how deep that situation was down there, because it's still in existence. It's still a horrible situation. So what came out of the Twitter was a couple of guys who formed their own organization, MMRC. It's a nonprofit, and these two guys met down in Haiti, Little Paul and Big Paul. Just a quick background on those guys. And they met down there, you know, two different guys, two different parts of the United States they came in, and but they had the same overriding humanitarian gene, if you will. And so long story short, they formed this organization. It's a nonprofit, and they just went about helping the Haitian people out. And you can go to their website. It's a link off of ours. You can see their stories. You can see the photographs. Then I got contacted by another person named Tim Falconer. He's from Wave Place Foundation. What he wants to do is he's building the future down in Haiti. And one of the biggest things, the issues they have down in Haiti is the kids weren't going to school. They've always had hurricanes down there. But then you throw in a disaster like an earthquake, you know, the simple things of coordinating and communicating, there's a complete breakdown. They don't have all the right things in place, just that us as Americans, well, that's what we do. We prepare, we plan. That's why we have an OEM, Office of Emergency Management, or FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Agency. You know, I know a lot of people out there, like, we're spending money on Homeland Security. Homeland Security has been around forever. It's just that it's more in the forefront of the news because of 9/11. But the American government's been drilling and training for years on that for when these things do happen. But there also is when these Katrinas of the world happen, and they're so massive that even a good laid plan is hard to execute. And then another leapfrog off of the Wave Place Foundation was Public Television Productions, the documentary filmmakers out of Canada. And they contacted us, and we had them on last week, and we had a boots on the ground guy named Nico Gillette and his producer Kate McKenna. Interesting people, great people. It was a great interview. They have a website. Again, you can go to my website, cppems.com, and my past guests and Little Paul, Big Paul, and Tim Falconer of Wave Place, they all have a link off of that. You can check it. You can check it out. You know, I'm not stumping for donations, but it's just that. And this, the way the world is playing out, is everything is so small. Our neighbors, whether it's 90 miles where Cuba or Haiti was a little further past it, or even with the Pakistani flooding, everything is so close. The communication is so close. And, you know, everybody's in this party together, because if we're not going to help out now, we're going to be paid for somewhere down the line. So educating the less fortunates of the world is an important factor. That's why I think... on the premise of the format of the program, you know, I'm still, you know, I still had my team of guys, I like to say, I guess it's like my version of this old house. You know, there's like four or five guys on there, and there's a guy for each individual discipline. You know, I have my Dan O'Brien with the electricity, he's the juice man, and you get Kevin Teeterman with Weird Drying Solutions. You know, he knows the only thing about drying. He's on some large loss councils throughout the country. Then you have specialty guys like Dave Venuhazi and Bruce Wolf, who's an industrial hygienist. And one of the guys I'll be bringing on in the next couple of weeks, who I've worked for and worked with the last 6 years, he and I worked together pretty closely down in Florida when I did the last two hurricanes down there. He's a structural building expert. He's Tim Woods out of Wakely Associates. Like I said, I'll have him in a couple of weeks. We've had some experiences together we want to talk about. And, you know, also then it goes into that kind of a regional, statewide, tri-state, and with my frontline emergency guys, which is Nick Moracy from New Jersey State Police OEM. He's a director of communication down there. There's John Grimendi. He's the ham operator and facilitating information when large-scale disasters happen. And then we have the captain, Dan O'Brien, the captain of the fire department, and the chief, Mark Fedorchek. These guys all play a role in my life. I lean on them heavily, which enables me to guide and direct. And we're going to go to a break. When we get back, we're going to talk to our guest today.
You're listening to the Disaster Recovery Hour with your host, Chris Plunkett, on AM 970, The Apple.
Do you know that there are some emergency shelters that have no emergency backup generators? You can be prepared and have your own emergency generator for your home and business. Hi, I'm Dan O'Brien from Academy Electrical Contractors Incorporated, a full-service electrical contractor servicing the tri-state area since 1981. Our specialty is generators. We give you a complete turnkey installation, service your existing generator, rent you the temporary machine for that planned shutdown or that unexpected power failure. Academy Electrical Contractors can install a generator to protect your family and business from a power grid failure. Power your heating and air conditioning system, keep your refrigerator and freezer running, power your well pump, or power your sump pump. Visit us on the web at academyelectrical.com. That's academyelectrical.com. Or give me a call at 877-SPARKIES. That's 877-772-7597. Academy Electrical Contractors, generating satisfaction 24/7 since 1981.
And now back to the Disaster Recovery Hour on AM 970, The Apple. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
Hey, welcome back. This is Chris Plunkett, the host of Disaster Recovery Hour, AM 970, The Apple, Talking New York. Every Sunday now at 11 o'clock. Every week I have a guest, whether they're in studio or they call in, dealing with disasters and preparedness and his firsthand experience of disasters. And today's guest is no exception to that. His name is Charles Maltaby. He is a response manager from the Red Cross up here in the northern region of New Jersey. Charles, thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much, Chris. I'm very happy to be here.
I've seen the Red Cross. I think America as a whole sees them every once in a while. You know, with the news flashes about fires and or floods and whole communities being displaced and your tents and trucks and cars and such like that. If you were to ask an average American what the Red Cross does, I don't think they would know.
I agree, Chris. American Red Cross does a lot of great things, but I think there's a lot of Americans that are in the dark about what they are until they're in need of the services. You know, if you pool our volunteers, most of them either learned about the Red Cross when they needed our services or learned about them from a friend. And what that says to me is that people just aren't getting the message.
Yeah. So the primary, give me the primary function of the Red Cross. And obviously we'll go down the path of some other disasters and things like that. But let's just ramp it up for our listeners. What is the function?
Well, the American Red Cross is the premier disaster response organization in the United States. Each year we average about 70,000 responses to disasters, large and small. I would say roughly 90% of what we respond to are residential structure fires. But in addition to that, we deliver emergency messages to members of the armed forces. We conduct preparedness drills with schools and other organizations. And annually, we spend over $650 million helping people get back to their normal lives after a disaster has displaced them.
Now, is there, you and I were speaking before the show, a majority is fire related?
Absolutely. The way that the Red Cross defines disaster as any event that tragically misplaces a family and compromises their shelter, access to clothing, and safe food, fire is by far the most prevalent disaster we see in the country. And, as a correlative factor, that's what we respond the most to. Mm-hmm. But in addition to that, floods, out west earthquakes, hurricanes, and, as we've seen in the last decade, terrorist attacks as well.
Right. Now, the volunteers, there's a training process, and you said that, just before and also before the show when we were doing some catch-up, these people have either been people that the Red Cross has assisted over the years, and they've wanted to give back, which is just a fabulous thought and great idea for that. And but the training, there's training involved. And so, for example, your region up here, is it as a Red Cross employee, is it are they field volunteers or is it administrative driven on to be an actual employee? And then how do you employ those volunteers that you do train?
Well, Chris, it's just a combination of all skills that really make us a successful organization. In the field, we have over 500 volunteers that respond to disasters, whether in a personal vehicle or in one of our vehicles, and assist families, run shelters, provide hot meals. But it's also the office staff that back them up that make that job possible. I can tell you it's far harder to get someone to sit behind a computer and crunch numbers for a disaster relief operation. And they're volunteers, too.
Oh, really?
Across the country, there's over 500,000 volunteers that make our mission possible and 30,000 employees. It's astonishing how much of this work is only possible because of the volunteers.
People have no idea.
No.
People have no idea. And, you see it here in our area, and I'll talk to you about some of the disasters in our area, but I've gone to multi-floor fires in New York City, and you guys are on the scene doing your due diligence on mitigating the displaced people and where they're going to go and how they're going to feed themselves and if they need clothing and things like that. But how does... the Red Cross is probably the most well-known, and people kind of don't know. Is there a reason behind that? Because there's not a whole lot of publicity pushed out there by you guys.
I think part of that is because of just trying to do due diligence to the donated dollar. Obviously, we try and put as much back into the response efforts as we can, and that may lead into some lack of awareness on the part of the public. But we've really tried to ramp up with our partners getting our message out there. you know, during our Haitian relief efforts, you saw the concerts with Bruce Springsteen and a lot of other notable celebrities. And our national office in the past few years has started having a celebrity board to actually help spread the message.
So
we're starting to actually place a greater emphasis on making the public aware of what we do. And it's all for the greater good of helping the public prepare for disasters. You know, if they don't know who we are, then why should you listen to us?
Yeah. No, and you know, the theme of this program. That's our driving force is about being prepared. And as I said, you and I were talking about it before the show started. If you just join us, glad to have you aboard. Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. This is, my guest today is Charles Maltaby. He's a response manager for the Red Cross. Now, Bill and I, the producer of the show, along with some other guys that I've had on the show, we've talked about, you know, having a representative from the Red Cross because, I mean, you guys are out there. I mean, that symbol is about as well known as Coca-Cola or McDonald's, right? So how many years has the Red Cross been in existence?
Since the Civil War, actually. It was when Claire Barton founded the American Red Cross to provide aid to injured soldiers on the battlefield.
Wow. Nobody knows that.
Some trivia shows you get on and win a lot of money if you actually knew that. But
I guess Watson, what was that computer on the new on Jeopardy? But is it what is the relationship with Congress? I know you and I were talking about that. Explain that.
Yeah. The American Red Cross is a unique entity in that we're chartered by the U.S. Congress to perform our disaster relief efforts and serve the U.S. military. But at the same time, in order to maintain our humanitarian neutrality, we don't receive any funding from the government. So it makes us very unique in that, you know, we're out there performing these crucial services of shelters and feeding and, you know, preparedness. But at the same time, we're fundraising to, you know, complete that. So really, it's sort of a self-sufficient organization that is really just a tribute to the American people and their willingness to band together and prepare for these events.
No, so in our area, the New York, New Jersey region, is fire still the most prevalent disasters? And after that, what are some of the other ones?
Well, in our area, fires represent well over 90% of our responses. It's just a threat that we face, you know, every day. Candles and unattended matches with children. The causes are endless, mm-hmm. and it takes a great toll. After that, annual flooding is a large event, and quite frankly, after that, it just pools out into any number of disasters that you don't see that many of, but collectively, hurricanes. We have, Haiti. We had Bosnian relief before that several years ago.
So with, you know, we got classified this past, June, I think, with the tornado that touched down. Classification, not Staten Island, which I said they seem to get the black eye of that one. They didn't get, they got no federal funding for that. Brooklyn and Queens did. Now, for that, would there be a representative? Would there be a response manager for that area?
Yes. There is two chapters that cover, you know, our listenership. There's the Northern New Jersey region, and you have the Greater New York region that does New York City, the five boroughs, and the Lower Hudson Valley. And, across the country, wherever you go, it's the same services just being delivered by one of our chapters. We have 600 chapters across the country. And our services are standardized so that, everybody receives the same relief help.
And so after a disaster, and you can expand on it, but we'll start to talk about it now. After a disaster, primarily it's housing and then the accoutrements of what follows with that?
Absolutely. What our caseworkers do is, you know, they respond to the scene or meet you at a safe location if, you know, the scene is not safe, and begin your recovery. That's number one, is getting you back to a sustainable existence. Mm-hmm. So it's food, clothing, and shelter. And, you know, if you don't have those things, you won't be successful. And that's where we start from and help you build your own plan for recovery, whether it's through your insurance company, whether it's public assistance, whatever it is, the goal of the Red Cross is that once we step in to help you, we want to get you back on your own, sustainable and independent as quickly as possible.
All right, and then we're going to go to a station break. I want to pick up how that correlates into the insurance end, because we do a lot of insurance-related situations on this, and we're kind of role-playing, if you will. Let's go to a break. Be right back.
You're listening to the Disaster Recovery Hour with your host, Chris Plunkett, on AM 970, The Apple. And now back to the Disaster Recovery Hour on AM 970, The Apple. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
Welcome back. This is Disaster Recovery Hour. Today, we're talking with Charles Maltaby. How do you interact, or you don't go to every scene, because sometimes people have said, listen, I have this in place, call my insurance company, you don't need to come out. Is there a cursory drive-by, if you will?
The way we're called out is by the first responders, the fire, police, and EMS. What we do is we do a lot of pre-training with them. Obviously, that's the most important part, is education. And, we review our response requirements. But essentially, it's if you've been impacted by a disaster and you require immediate assistance, they're trained in calling us out. They've got our disaster hotline number, and it goes right to our 24-hour dispatch center, and we send the team out.
So, why don't you throw out that number right this now? And we'll go through it later, but what would be the number?
1-800-507-6058. 1-800-507-6058. That goes to the Northern New Jersey dispatch desk, and what they'll do is they'll ask you some basic questions, determine where your disaster occurred and what your needs may be, so they can route your call accordingly. And if it's a call in New York City, they'll route it to the Greater New York chapter, or if it's across the country, they'll get in touch with your home chapter. If it's in our area and, it's a house fire, another disaster, they'll then dispatch our team of trained volunteers that respond 24/7. And, we'll work to find you housing and help you sort of get your thoughts in order. What we find is a lot of people are just disoriented after a traumatic event like that.
Right. Which is what I encounter. Not if you guys are involved, if it's your standard fire, and no one was hurt, thank God, and but they're displaced, but they've made the proper phone calls, they had some form of plan in play from being prepared, calling their insurance broker or the management company. And sometimes let's just use Hoboken or Jersey City, they have an OEM department, and they can kind of facilitate people that way. And some but eventually you will do some form of you'll touch the situation. In our post 9/11 era, and post 9/11, everyone says that phrase. Did you guys have to? What am I saying? It has to modify or take on a new look, because terrorism now is. I mean, you had Oklahoma City, and you had 93 Trade Center bombing, but not to this magnitude of death and so on. So was the Red Cross. Did it have to take a look at itself and say, listen, we have a new threat out there, and this is what we need to do? Was there any changes with that?
Chris, for one thing, terrorism was just not something that we had looked at on that scale in the past. Sort of Oklahoma City, Trade Center 1, these were events that impacted large numbers of people, but not the mega regional impact that the towers had. We were assisting families for years afterwards, assisting them to get back to, a sustainable existence. Mm-hmm. And what changed with that was, we transitioned into, doing a managed fund for the event, where, an outside third party was actually managing a fund for these people that we could make disbursements out of. Mm-hmm. We started developing protocols for responding to WMD, weapons of mass destruction events.
Right.
That just hadn't been in the forefront of our minds prior to that.
Right. Yeah. And I know our government was had a notion, so they say. Yeah. And but for us, as a volunteer, and myself saying, I've gone to fires and floods. I haven't gone to building collapses because of a terrorist act. It's kind of It's a whole new ball game. But now, so you have the terrors, and so we talked about the towers, but Katrina would be a more applicable thing that in a larger scale for the Red Cross to get involved, right?
Well, yeah, you know, that was certainly right in our area of expertise. It was a mass sheltering situation, and we're recognized by FEMA as being the co-lead for sheltering in the U.S. So that was right in our, that was something that we do, and we did learn quite a bit from it. It was something that we've revisited how we deploy our resources, how we make them available, and we've also looked more pre-positioning of equipment for responses that, it helped us internally as well as externally, that, making people aware that, you need to be prepared for these events because, we're people, we're impacted by these events as well, that, mm-hmm. we have to get the equipment to you, but we're going through the same waters that are flooding your house right now.
Right.
And, we're not parachuting them in or anything. And that's, I think that's also created an awareness of, hopefully that people are going to begin taking their own preparations more
right.
seriously.
Right. I mean, the since the show's come on and, we've been doing the show, I don't know if it's that thing that somebody told me about, you buy a new car and then you realize that the car's car's all over the place on the road. But preparedness, Europe going through the two world wars, the Europeans, and I've spoken to some other people, via the Twitter and Facebook, they do have more of a plan, and they're because they've had hundreds and hundreds of years of conflict, and the close proximity to their housing and living. I mean, the streets are small, the cars are small. It's amazing. It just wouldn't fly over here in America. But one of the things that you and I were also talking about is people donating money. And we had a guest on not too long ago. They talked about the donations in this country last year were the largest in the history of donations. So you, at the Red Cross, you employ volunteers, if you will, for dispersing money, because that's a big deal.
Absolutely. Last year we had Haitian Relief, which was a tremendous response on our part. Like I said, we had volunteers that were deployed to Florida specifically to assist with getting medical aid to injured Haitians in the hospitals down there. But additionally, we were purchasing supplies and shipping them to Haiti. And another thing that we've done is really transitioned into purchasing supplies as they're needed and strategically placing them versus asking for in-kind donations of specific items. So
getting supplies is actually a little more difficult to get them in country, opposed to having the money, buying the product, and you're logistically making those arrangements.
Absolutely. If you buy a bag of rice, that's a bag of rice, and whether 800 other bags of rice just got shipped into Haiti that we didn't know about, that's all we have. We can't take that and redistribute it to buying water or, paying to ship something over there. So that's why we try and now keep our donations fluid in a way that they can be used as they're best needed,
This is a Disaster Recovery Hour, if you just popped in and starting to listen to us. Today's guest is Charles Maltaby. He's a response manager from the Red Cross. And we're talking about the, a lot of people don't realize, how long they've been around, what they do, and the impact they have on our daily lives after something's happened. Because, it's like, that old, something happens in a neighborhood, and the news people show up to the neighbor and say, well, he was a nice guy, he was quiet. That kind of stuff never happens around here, but you are there when something does happen around there. Whether it's a fire or floodings or for our region, we can use the parking garage collapse in Hackensack last year. That's you're talking about, it's an affluent neighborhood. Generally, the people live in that building are well off in means, if you will. But your thoughts on that was getting them temporary housing, and again back to the sustainability. That was a perfect example.
Yeah, absolutely. It just shows that, across all demographics, being prepared for events is something that everybody needs to work on. Here is a group, a fairly affluent building, and we had people that required assistance. Same as anywhere else. All the medications were in one location in the house. They didn't have any cash on their person or in their vehicle. It was all in their apartment.
Right.
And, it was just another situation where we just adapted and, set up an aid station, provided them a place out of the heat. And, hopefully we can use that as a point of education that everyone needs to be prepared.
Right. I mean, it doesn't matter of whether you're a doctor or, with the way the recession is, and still in the recession, in my mind, my opinion, being unemployed, still being prepared doesn't matter if you're higher education or lower education. Most of the people are still unprepared. We're going to go to a station break. When we get back, we're going to talk with Charles. I want to talk about NGOs because it's become part of my life with the LP and the BP thing. And so let's go to that break and pay a couple bills, as I always say, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Disaster Recovery Hour with your host, Chris Plunkett, on AM 970, The Apple. When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need answers. CPP is the answer. CPP is a full-service emergency services and restoration company. With 20 years' experience in emergency management and restoration, our seasoned team of skilled professionals is ready to assess damages and restore your property to its pre-loss condition. Who do I call first? What about insurance? Is it safe to stay here? What do I do next? Fire, smoke, water, or mold? CPP restores your property and your peace of mind. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration. We've got answers. For more information, go online to www.cppems.com or call 201-483-8953, 201-483-8953. In New York, 212-920-9789, 212-920-9789. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration, serving the New York metro and tri-state area. And now back to the Disaster Recovery Hour on AM 970, The Apple. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
Disaster Recovery Hour, I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. Every Sunday between 11 and 12, AM 970, The Apple, at Talk of New York. We are the Disaster Preparedness Radio Show of the New York area, the metropolitan area. And again, Charles is a response manager from the Red Cross. And before we went to the break, NGOs, non-government organizations, how do you work with them side by side? How do you coordinate working with NGOs?
What we try and do is bring everybody's strengths to the table, with the understanding that when the big ones happen, and they've happened in the past and they'll happen again, we need everybody's strengths to make it a successful response. So what we've done is there's a group, the voluntary agencies active in disaster, it's the VOADs, that we coordinate with to, capitalize on those specialties. Red Cross is very successful at sheltering. We'll pull in a Salvation Army to assist with feeding and with other aspects. Across the board, what we find is collectively, we're so much stronger than we are individually. Now, the Red Cross with FEMA has been classified as the coordinating agency for sheltering in the country. So what that does for us is that lets us capitalize on some of our sheltering management experience to train other organizations and assist in coordinating them when we need to activate mega shelters, regional shelters, when we flood, when there are attacks, when whatever the event may be, it allows us to provide some leadership to those responses.
So with Katrina, you had the government, and you not being a government agency, obviously an NGO, non-government organization, that happens. You have several major players, you being one of them, and again, you're part of the proverbial toolbox. You do well in housing and looking for sustainability. Would that also, for just pops in my head right now as we're thinking about it, as I'm thinking about it, not the FEMA trailers. You would have something for where it houses massive amounts of people, not just individual families.
Yeah. We look to, you know, utilize shelters when it's going to be the most efficient use of the donated dollar. And that's something that we always have to be aware of is, you know, we only have so much money that we can fundraise, and we need to use that to help as many people as possible. So that's when we start looking at sheltering. It won't be one family, but, you know, you get a large multifamily apartment complex, you know, you get a whole neighborhood, we're opening shelters.
Right. And I've been involved in one of those. About 6 or 7 years ago, I had a 36-story building, sixth-floor fire. And you guys were there, and there was, I don't know, 100 and some odd units that everybody, there was just some severe amount of smoke damage, and no one could stay there for about 3 or 4 days. Plus, the elevator was out for 14 floors, so you had to walk up the floors all the time. Well, you know what? There's also the Red Cross internationally, and I want to bring you back next month. I want to talk about the Red Cross's experience in working with international NGOs. Let's get the volunteering thing. How do people go about volunteering?
Well, the easiest way to do it is just to give us a call or shoot us an email. Both the New Jersey chapters and the New York have a great website that's easy to use, and you can apply to volunteer online, and we can place you with the department. In northern New Jersey, our website's redcrossnnj.org, and in New York City, it's nyredcross.org. And you can sign up for training. You come in, you sit down with one of our response managers, and we review the opportunities that we have, and we can discuss what your interests are and how we can use those to respond to disaster. You know, it doesn't have to be what your career path is. We have accountants that drive forklifts. Yeah, there you go. And we've got forklift drivers that are our accountants, and it, you know, we'll train you for whatever the job is that you want to perform on a disaster. And you know, it's an opportunity to deploy around the country and help your fellow citizens.
Just a little edification. Charles was a volunteer fireman, so he's been through the training at the academy. Charles was like, I got a buddy of a guy named Matt that looks just like Charles. I keep on wanting to say Matt, but Charles has gone through the academy, so he understands the firsthand response of a fire or flooding and things like that, and then the human side to the tragedy or disaster, if you will. Hopefully, it wasn't a tragedy. I mean, things are things, you know. You're going to lose them. They're going to be, they'll be burnt. They'll be soaked. They'll be whatever has happened to them. But life obviously is a lot more precious. These are some crazy numbers that you gave me. I mean, 70,000 disasters nationwide every year that you guys volunteer to. $450 million are given to families in need, and that's not the amount. I mean, there's also other things that are part of the $450 million, because you also actually have supplies. So what does that equate to dollars? You train over 15 million citizens a year. That's nuts. You know, that's you know what? That's the kind of stuff that needs to get out there. And I hope the show is really going to get some further traction. I mean, I like to think the show is a kind of a public service program, and I love getting at the info on the Red Cross stuff. So, but I definitely want you to come back. I think maybe early March, because, you know, then we're going into that flooding season, if you will, right?
Yeah.
And and again, you know what? You know, I have my home tips, you know, the gutters and things that are butted up against the house, and check out the sump pump. And, you know, some people don't even realize that their sump pumps don't work. You know, I have those types of things, but you have more of a what happens on a larger scale that you can bring in your expertise. And also we'll talk about the international, because I'm really curious on how that works. I've had some other NGOs from other parts of the world on the program, and also with my BP and LP buddies and how they worked. So it was. Thanks for coming in. I know you guys are busy. It's the winter months. We're on storm number 9. I also know that you spent, from time to time, you've had conference calls, not directly talking directly with Nick Morisi from the OEM New Jersey State Police. But Charles, give me the contact information again before you roll out.
Yeah. For our chapter, it's, you can reach us at redcrossnnj.org, and we've got, you know, winter preparation tips. We've got information on volunteer opportunities, you know, donation suggestions, and you know, just more information about what the Red Cross does and how you can be involved in it.
Okay. Then now those that there's going to be a link off of ours, and that's drhradio.net. I was telling you last week we are now .net, not .com. That's CPPEMS. chrisplunkett.com. That's my website. But we've created a new website first for the show and all the guests and their links. And this is a big one, without a doubt. And I was talking with BP and LP. They talked about running into the Red Cross down in Haiti, which you guys did a lot of great work down there. But you know, they are on the logistics end of it, and you are in the housing, and also you have some other small disciplines that, again, people don't realize. But you know, the next time you show in, you come down, we can talk about some of the other things that again, people don't know that the Red Cross is doing. It's almost like, you know, I always talk about, and you know this, being a volunteer fireman and drilling, people don't realize that, you know, things are actually happening out there. The government and the NGOs of the United States are doing their due diligence of drilling and being prepared. But also, you know as well as I do, you can only do so much. I mean, Harry homeowner or Joe business owner's got to take care of some of this stuff until the cavalry shows, you know?
Absolutely. And Krishna, that's the real value of your show. And I really appreciate being on and that you provide this information to the public, because, you know, people need to realize that, that there's only so much that any one organization can do, be it public or private.
Right. Thanks a lot for coming on, Charles. And again, Charles Maltaby is a response manager from the Red Cross up here in the northern area of New Jersey. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Chris.
Great. Good show. Enjoy the rest of the weekend. Disaster Recovery. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. Every Sunday, AM 970, The Apple, Talk in New York. One more never-ending disaster is the war. Let's bring home our troops, and God bless our country. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Disaster Recovery Hour with your host, Chris Plunkett, from CPP Emergency Services and Restoration. You can reach Chris by calling 201-483-8953. In New York, 212-920-9789. And don't forget to tune in every Sunday morning at 11 for the Disaster Recovery Hour, right here on AM 970, The Apple.